Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Stopper 706. This is the Dirt Bird Nation Report, the unofficial official podcast of Falcons Twitter. Today, we have two very special guests, a first-time guest and a returning guest. We have Mr. Scott Karasik. Did I say it right? I'm sorry.
You said it right the first time.
There we go. Karasik. And we have Charles McDonald, two very prominent members of Falcons Twitter. Two of the more sane people, well, sane-ish people on Falcons Twitter. I don't know if anybody on Falcons Twitter is completely sane. They might need some help. We're definitely apparently alcoholics and weed heads, but it is what it is. You gotta do to cope. We have our host, Lethal Saint, and the bearded legend, Josh. So what's good, y'all?
Nothing much. Thanks for having us on the show. I'm excited for draft season to be over because it's been too much.
Jesus Christ.
Agreed. And yes, definitely. Thanks for having us on the show, man. I appreciate it.
You know, anytime. Josh, what's going on, man? So you got the red lights going on. You feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Hawks up. You know, we're doing the show. So, yeah, I'm in a good mood.
Lethal, what's happening?
Hey, another day, another dollar. I appreciate y'all coming on. And, yeah, we are definitely the drunkest fan base. Okay?
Drunkest and highest.
Drunk as in, the brownies are so good.
I just got some water. I just got some water here.
Got that Skittle fart water over there.
You know, gotta keep my palate wet. But anywho, yeah, let's get into it, man. So the biggest thing that's going on in Falcons Twitter, which has been amplified with our draft position having the fourth overall pick, is to get a quarterback or to not get a quarterback. So if you're on Falcons Twitter, you know this has been a huge civil war. It's very annoying to see every single day, every hour, every minute, Falcons fans going back and forth arguing whether we should look towards the future or continue to say that, hey, Matt Ryan, we can still make some things happen, even though we know our roster isn't in the greatest shape. They'll use outlier examples like the 49ers game this year to kind of justify that, hey, if we have better coaching, we can make things happen with this roster, which I'm like, maybe, but consistently, I'm not too sure, but we do have a great opportunity to potentially lock in another franchise quarterback for the next couple of decades or so with the way quarterbacks are playing into their 40s. Well, Tom Brady's a bit of the exception, but you get my drift. And fans have been killing each other every single day by the hour of what we should do. And we've spoken on the podcast of what we think we should do. I think the Falcons will take a quarterback at 4. I'm not really sure who it is. I really don't care. But whether they do or not, as long as we win, I don't care what we do. We know what Josh wants to do. I'm not going to even ask him, but we'll start with Scott. But what are your views on Falcons Twitter having this ridiculous war about what the Falcons should do with the number 4 pick, whether it's taking quarterback, trading back, or doing other things, or taking like Kyle Pitts or something like that? That's the hot flavor of the
right. If it was me, I'm looking at a trade back a couple spots because I like the idea of amassing as many picks. I think the draft is a crapshoot no matter who you're picking, where you're picking, what you're picking. Just shotgun method, get 15 picks every year. Whoever sticks, sticks, and then just go from there. Outside of that, honestly, I think quarterback is a right move. I think you go Pitts. Just take the guy who's worth number 4 overall. Like, if you feel it's Justin Fields, go Fields. If you feel it's Lance, go Lance. If you feel it's Pitts, go Pitts. I don't think anybody but those three guys are worth number 4. I don't like Zach Wilson. I don't think he's that great. I think he's Mitch Trubisky part 2. I don't really like Mac Jones that high. I like him at the end of the first, not the beginning of the first. I think Lance right now is a late first guy, but with the right training and the right situation, which Atlanta kind of looks like a perfect situation for him, he's worth that number 4 overall pick. So it's all about who fits the right way. If they take Penei Sewell at 4, I'm sorry. I like the guy, but we've seen another tackle go 6 overall. It really doesn't change the team that much. I hate to say it that way. A new offensive guard at 4 overall isn't going to win 10 games. You need playmakers that high.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think that they should take a quarterback, and it's not – it really has nothing to do with how good Matt Ryan is right now. It's just like if things go right, you're never picking this high again, and we all know how hard it is to get a franchise quarterback. So, like, if you're sitting here at 4, and we're like, we're looking, we're not at the end yet, but like, we're looking at the end of Matt Ryan's career. I think it's just kind of worth the opportunity cost to just take a guy at four. Whether you like Lance or Fields, no Mac Jones. I don't even think they're in the Mac Jones market. I think it's, if they're four quarterback, it's Lance or Fields. And just hope that that pick kind of works out for you. Pitts would obviously be great because, I mean, he's like probably the best player outright just in this draft class. I mean, we're talking like Travis Kelce, and he might be a top like seven tight end his first day in the NFL.
Tony G, man. He's Tony G.
Okay. I mean, what is that, like, you know, Hall of Fame caliber type of prospect that we're talking
about? No, but how you use him, like, he could be like Tony G. You can play him outside. You can play him in the slot. Like, Pitts is a beast, man.
Yeah. I mean, Kelsey's like the same kind of way with how the Chiefs use him now. I mean, it's like that style of receiving tight end. But
fair enough.
If you're going to trade down, that's why I kind of like this draft for the Falcons, because they're in a good spot. Like, quarterback, I get the vision. Pitts, get it. If you want to trade back, like, that makes a lot of sense too, because like the Falcons, they're in a tough cap spot probably next year too. And the best way to kind of alleviate that is just to get some rookie contracts on the table and get some cheap contracts that are going to be bodies for your roster. So that makes sense. Like, if I had to rank it for me, it would be take a quarterback, and then Pitts and trade back are like tied for me.
Josh, what do you think?
Trade back.
Of course. Why, Josh? Can you give us some specific reasons why we should a franchise quarterback in a spot we normally would not be in?
I mean, again, like how Charger said, if things go good, we may not be in a position again. Who's to say things may go good? We draft the quarterback and the defense is still terrible. We're going to be back in the top 10 the following few years. So just trade back, accumulate picks, build your trenches, and build your defense. And
so Josh was here before those pre-Matt Ryan years. I can already tell.
Doug Johnson, Kurt Kittner. I mean, just build a complete team. Like, why can't we do that?
Well, that's operating
98.
That's operating on the premise that you're going to turn around and trade back for these picks and build this defense. But like, that's operating on the thought process that Matt Ryan, which he could be around for, say, another play at a great level for at least 3 to 4 years, which is possible. But that's about the time it's going to take for these rookies that you're drafting to get to the point where they're contributing at a high level. So
here's my question there, because I noticed that is a big contention among Falcons Twitter. Why do people think that Matt Ryan can't play those 5 years? Because he's 36 years old? He was never a mobile quarterback to begin with. He was never known for arm strength to begin with. His accuracy, his reads, all the leadership stuff that he brings, that's what made Matt Ryan one of the top quarterbacks to ever play. No matter what you think about him now, his entire career, he's probably a top 25, top 30 quarterback all time at worst. He just happened to play in the era where number one, number four, number five, number seven, number eight, number 10, like all those other guys also played. So why can't he play till he's 40? He's not winning with his feet. He's winning with his intelligence. He's winning with his accuracy. And his arm strength really hasn't declined that much. It's 95% of what it's been. And what, it'll go to 93%, 92%? Tom Brady's out here making these same throws that Matt Ryan was making with less arm strength than what Matt Ryan has right now.
So, again, Tom Brady's kind of the exception to the rule. People will look at people like Matt Ryan and say, hey, why can't he do that? And the answer is because he's not Tom Brady. And that's no shade to Matt Ryan. Nobody's Tom Brady but Tom Brady. But I'm not saying that Matt Ryan cannot play to the level, but eventually he's going to be gone. So why not have your cake and eat it? And again, we're not saying that his physical tools are not what gets it done, but why not, as he's easing out, we ease in with one of the newer generational guys that has all the same tools that can be our guy for the next 10, 15 years.
That's a fair point.
So, I mean, I think the Falcons are really not in a win-win situation. Like, whatever we do, as long as we get the most value out of whatever pick we make, we'll be fine. It's just going to be unfortunate if we have the opportunity to take one of these guys and we don't. and then they're torching us for the next 10 years. So, I mean, I know quarterback classes come and go, but this one seems to be pretty solid from a talent and prospect standpoint, with the exception of the whole Mac Jones, Zach Wilson thing, but that's another thing. But yeah.
I mean, I'll say this. If I understand the, you know, keep Matt Ryan, trade down or take Kyle Pitts, like, I get it. But I think in order for me to feel comfortable with that, like, we need to, like, Arthur Smith needs to be good today. Like, he needs to be good right now if they're not going to take a quarterback. And I think that another reason why I think quarterback is probably going to be a pick at four is, like, it just gives Arthur kind of a longer leash for his career. Because, bro, like, if you're taking Kyle Pitts, right, and you got Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts, Mike Davis, who's a better running back than Todd Gurley. Yeah, you got to show me something like ASAP. So I think I think he might take a quarterback just to buy himself some time. Like, oh, you know, if it doesn't work out, Matt, I got my other guy right here. And, you know, like that, those conversations like definitely get had in front offices, or at least that's how some of these guys will think when they first get in the door.
Well, but that's pretty par for the course. Whenever you have a new head coach, new GM regime, they're not tied to the old guys. So if Arthur Smith sees one of these quarterbacks say, hey, this is the guy for my vision of what I want the Falcons to be moving forward, from a job security standpoint, you'd be a fool not to do that, because you can at least say, hey, I'm going to handcuff myself to this guy who I think in my head is going to take us to wherever we want to be, which is the championship, versus rolling with a guy that's established, he's a great quarterback, he's shown what he could do, but at the end of the day, within the next 3, 4, 5 years, this guy's going to be gone. Now you're starting over. And you're going to be kicking yourself. You're saying, hey, Justin Fields was the guy in my head who was going to take us where we want to go with my offense or my system. And then you're going to end up being fired and working for the Jaguars or something like that. So that's why I think it would be wise for all parties. Hey, if this is the guy that you say is your guy, your franchise player, take him and make things work. Because, again, we all know historically, you know, the whole Kyle Shanahan thing, Matt Ryan is not great in the first year of new offense. And this is like his 26th new offense he's had to learn. So we can't have the expectation that he's going to be great at the gate. Like that'd be a fool's errand. So again, I would make the moves that are going to make this franchise sustainably good for the future versus, in my opinion, a little bit of a pipe dream that, hey, we can just trade back and get this guy and plug this piece in. Our roster has a lot of holes to fill. And by the time those holes are filled, we may or may not be in a position to make some big moves.
Well, and the other argument there is, are these holes that need to be filled, or was it coaching? You know, were the coaches last year inept?
Oh, which they were terrible. I feel very confident looking at the defense saying that they need some serious talent. Like that second game sucks.
I'll agree there, but I'm saying on offense. Because I think we all saw that same Dirk Cutter. Like, run it up the middle, or maybe we'll do a quick pass offense. And then it was takes 8 minutes for guys to get open downfield kind of route. I hate Dirk's offense.
Yeah, they're better. They're better off with Arthur than Dirk, for sure. Yeah, I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
I think the pieces fit better with Dean Pease than they did with Dan Quinn, too. I mean, Fowler's better standing than he is with his hand in the dirt.
I mean, yeah, but like, if I take a turd to like a 5-star restaurant, they're not going to be able to make it to a steak for me. It's still tough, you know.
I'm just saying, if you put Grady Jarrett out there and you use him like he's Donald, Fowler's a good complimentary piece. You've got pieces there that have solid roles that are potential, like that solid potential and role. But you don't have the full makeup. You do need pieces of talent. You do need talented guys. You need to go out and get another true edge rusher. You need to go out and get two safeties, because I don't think Eric Harris is going to be really anything but a veteran leader back there. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't think Jalen Collins is anything but a special team guy. And who's the other guy even on the roster? TJ Green, who washed out? Like, none of these guys are good. And then at corner, like, Oliver's solid in the – Oliver's solid in the slot, but then Terrell's like real good outside. So that's it. That's all you got. So I'm with you there. You need pieces, but what are you going to do?
But instead, that goes back to my point.
Can I cuss on this real quick?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Hey, Sniffles, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. What Scott said, because I'm clearly dark chocolate over here.
Okay. Now you're taking it too far, but you've derailed the podcast. But anywho, yeah, so I guess, that's a good question.
No.
Yeah, that's, we all know that.
That's no. The defense needs a miracle.
Three drafts.
Five.
I hope it's a little faster than that, but
yeah.
maybe if they can draft like Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu in the second round,
then we good.
I think they're like one draft away from being average.
Damn. That's a oof.
I mean, not great. But like, not gonna lose you a game if you're up by a touchdown in the last minute.
If Fowler is not just like a lemon, that's possible. But he was just so bad last year. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know how much stock to put in that moving forward. Like, I don't know if he's just like a complete lost cause, or if Dean Pease can unlock something. But like that front, the defensive line specifically, just needs so much help, and the secondary too. Like, you're good at linebacker with Debo and Foye. You're straight there, but like everything else needs some talent to me.
Yeah, that's why I say Trey.
I think you got something with Jarrett.
And throw in Patrick in the secondary with AJ.
You got Jarrett and you got Terrell. You got Davidson's got potential. I mean, he was COVID riddled last year, but he's got potential. Not Tyler Davidson, the Saints guy. I'm talking Marlon Davidson, the one.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Right. Former Saints a turncoat, man. I don't trust that guy.
So, Josh, I've seen this brought up as well as far as trying to pair AJ Terrell with Patrick Surtain Jr., correct? All right. So, again, that sounds good, but rookie cornerbacks play like rookie cornerbacks, right? So it's going to be a lot of ups and downs. And a lot of those downs are going to be plays that are possibly going to be losing us games. You know what I'm saying? So I get it, but I think to have the most impact from a non-quarterback that's going to play now, I would probably have to go with a Kyle Pitts if I wasn't going to go with the quarterback, just because he can be an immediate impact on the offense schematically.
And I get that, but that's still the same page and the same book for the last decade, try to outscore teams and pray that the defense can stop somebody. We've been doing that.
I mean, I hate to say it, but that's how they won the Super Bowl. That's how Tampa won the Super Bowl this last year. They just outscored teams over and over again. Their defense was good.
No, that's the best run defense in the league. They had a top five.
Who runs the ball in the league anymore, man? It's a passing league. Who gives a shit if they got the best run defense? We need the defense that gets the most picks, that gets the most sacks, that gets the most turnovers.
Yeah,
no one runs the ball.
Hey, Falcons ain't close to any of that stuff. So
exactly my point.
Yeah. I mean, we ran the ball that one time when Matt told somebody to not score. And what did he do? He scored anyway. You remember that, Josh? Your best friend.
Damn good dog, baby.
Yeah.
What? He's not the only Georgia.
I don't blame Todd Gurley for that. I blame the defense for not being able to hold a lead with 64 seconds left. If your defense can't hold a lead with 64 seconds left, you got bigger problems than a running back scoring a touchdown.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
They had no timeouts on top of that.
Josh,
they had no timeouts.
We wouldn't have top four pick without that. So thank you, Todd.
Yes, I respect the hustle. Okay.
Points have been made.
So real quick. So I'm going to assume, Charles, you're for the Falcons drafting quarterback. And Jiff, what did you want to do? I didn't get what you really wanted to do.
Well, it was Sewell until somebody came and derailed my hopes and dreams. Thanks, Scott.
Sewell makes sense. I don't think Sewell will be like the worst pick ever, but you're basically telling McGarry to fuck off.
Well,
more or less.
I tell people to fuck off all the time. So
I don't have a problem doing that.
I don't have a problem doing that either. But do you really need two guys at tackle that are going to be that much count, that much contract 4 years down the line.
Yeah.
You know?
Facts.
Do you really need two guys at tackle like that?
I guess.
And he's going to play guard his first year.
Yeah. I mean, if you're anti-quarterback, like, that's the easy argument. You know, it's tough to have a number four overall pick just sitting on the bench, taking up that much cap space when you kind of need that cap, I guess, moving forward to fill out the roster. Like, that's the anti-quarterback take. But if you don't care about that, then I don't know, just take the quarterback.
I mean, and to me, if you're going to do that, then it's, you got to get a playmaker. Yeah, outscoring people, that's how you win games in today's NFL. But it's not just that Pitts can play tight end. It's that Pitts could go out wide when Julio comes off the field those 30% of the snaps. And when you're thinking snap management, you need a guy who can go out there and burn a defense. Well, if you got Pitts and you got Calvin on the outside and Hurst at tight end, you still got at least three guys that can go out there and burn a defense with Gage on there. And you can do so many more creative things, sub guys out, keep them fresh. Hey, when Calvin wants to go sit out, or if Calvin's out for a little bit, what are you going to do? You can play Pitts outside. Just my thoughts. It gives you a lot more creativity, a lot more flexibility, and then you can take like a fifth round running back because running backs don't matter. So,
facts. So we got, I take the Falcons to quarterback. Jeff wants Sewell. Charles wants quarterback. Josh obviously wants to trade back. And it seems like Scott is on team train back. Jalen, the legend, has entered the podcast. What are your thoughts on what the Falcons are going to do with the fourth overall pick? Do you want us to do quarterback? Do you want to trade back? What are your thoughts on this? Because you know that Twitter's been a dumpster fire with this topic. It's getting very old.
Yeah. Take the quarterback and figure out the rest later. I don't think like Charles was saying, Sewell wouldn't be like a terrible option, but you kind of just invested a first round pick in somebody like literally two seasons ago. Mm-hmm. And like, you could kick him to the curb for all I care. Like, I think he's okay. I don't think he's like amazing or anything. He's not like irreplaceable. He's okay. But you got almost the same amount of production for Matt Godot, and he's getting a second round tender. So like, you could do that. I would probably hate it, but because I want the quarterback, because my whole stance on the draft is it's about value more than it's about like player sometimes. And with the fourth pick, there's nobody really there to take beside the quarterback. If this draft was like super heavy and defensive like stars, I'd be like, sure, go for that. But it's heavy in quarterbacks where they pick, and the other only other option really is a generational tight end or a tackle that you don't need.
That makes sense. So the people that are making these decisions, of course, we have a new regime change with Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith. What were you guys' initial thoughts when we brought these gentlemen in as far as what they will bring to the franchise? And again, this will be their first draft, so this is going to hold a lot of weight on what happens with this franchise for the next, you know, possibly decade or so. So just your quick takes on the new regime.
I was happy. Arthur was the guy. It was Arthur and Bieniemy were the two guys like at the top of my list. So I'm glad that they got Arthur Smith. I mean, just look at what happened with Tannehill, like when he got there, and like obviously having Derrick Henry and AJ Brown helps. But you know, you're walking into a situation with two receivers that I think are better than AJ Brown, because I think Ridley's better than AJ Brown as well. So you know, I honestly expect a lot out of Arthur, at least his first year, because I do think he's a really good play caller. And from people I've talked to, they seem to think that he's built for like this head coaching lifestyle. So I expect the offense to be much better than it was last year, barring like Matt Ryan getting hurt or something like that. And with Terry, like, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, there weren't many moves to be made this offseason with the Falcons cap situation. So I guess for Terry, we'll see. Like, ask me that question in 3 years when he's been able to have a bigger impact on the roster and some of the cap stuff has cleaned up. But Arthur, I'm expecting a lot year one.
I like the move. Terry's used to working for a team that basically had to draft for years because they've been in perpetual cap hell. And he understands that the cap is basically a credit card. And you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing until your franchise quarterback retires. I mean, that's really what you do. That's what New Orleans has done. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want to do that. It's what New England did for years. I know Tom Brady took a bunch of deals, but I mean, that's what you get for being the trophy husband to Gisele Bündchen. Like, I'm not really too worried about Terry. Arthur Smith wasn't my top choice. I wanted Bieniemy. But they run basically the same kind of offense. They run that zone blocking scheme. They run that West Coast offense. I mean, I get why you would pick Arthur Smith over Bieniemy because he's got more experience at the pro level, where Bieniemy has a little bit more at the college level. But, I mean, you couldn't have really gone wrong with either guy. It's more about the staff that they built. And I do like Dean Pease running the defense. I do like the special teams coordinator they brought in from Detroit, even though he wasn't – I mean, special teams, people don't think about it a lot, but you get the guy. You know, you get the guys that can do the job and do it well.
Okay. Good, good, good. All right, so I know that the NFL has been kind of weird as far as covering sports with everything COVID-related. It looks like things are going to start smoothing out a little bit more as far as people being able to go to the stadiums. I guess my first question is, would you be skeptical of going to a game if they allow, you know, thousands of people in there? And then also being that you guys are very heavy into covering sports, how has that affected, I guess, kind of your hustle, if that makes sense, as far as covering sports in general? I mean, not just the Falcons, but, you know. How has that made content a little bit different? Because I know we don't have the combine, which is everybody's kind of favorite way to, you know what I'm saying, measure players and determine who's going to be a future Hall of Famer based off the Underwear Olympics. But we were kind of robbed of that. What are your thoughts on all of this? And also, does that affect how you think people will draft? Because, I mean, pretty much now you have to just go off film and pro days. So, you know, that kind of could affect people making less risky decisions, if that makes sense.
So the big thing with the combine is medicals more than anything else.
Didn't think about that.
And the interviews. They still did like the medical side of it sort of this year. There were some guys that didn't show up that really needed to be evaluated though. Jalen Phillips is one of them. Tons of concussion questions. They're worried about, I forget the guy's name. Sorry, I had a brain fart. They're worried about a couple of the running backs that are coming out this year. They've got knee injuries, ankle injuries. Chuba Hubbard is a name that's going to pop up a lot. Talented guy, injury history. Like, that's just what it is, you know? Guy was a potential Heisman Trophy winner in 2019, 2020, fell off the map, was injured most of the year. How is he healing from it? What's the real injury there? Because colleges don't really do great with releasing that kind of information. The rest of it, you can do interviews at campus. You can do interviews at pro days. You can do interviews whenever you need to. You can see these guys run around in their underwear at all their pro days. So, I mean, you're really not missing anything. Yeah, it's not all laser timed, but, I mean, you film it, you can get the exact time you need. It's not really about the timing. It's more about how fluid these guys move. You know, if a guy runs a 4.440, but he looks like he's running like Matt Ryan out there trying to run a 4.440, it's not as impressive as a guy who's running like Julio Jones in the 4.440. So it's how they move, not what are they doing, not what are the results.
Yeah, I mean, the hardest part with the no combine is just none of this stuff is standardized, I guess, to one central location, which is kind of hard. Like you'll read, like the other day I was looking at something that popped up on my Twitter and it was like University of Kentucky Pro Day and they had like two dudes run 4.240s. I'm like, all right, man, like, sure. I'll let you all hype your guys up, but like a lot of this stuff is definitely inflated. I mean, like a good one that I brought up a couple years ago, like Jamal Adams, he runs like almost a 4.6 close to a 4.6, like high 4.5s at the combine. And then LSU Pro Day, he's running a 4.3 all of a sudden. Like, I know you didn't get that much faster in, you know, the 4 weeks since the combine. So like, you just got to take all this stuff with a grain of salt. But just in terms of covering it, like I can just talk to my experience about as a beat reporter when I was working with the Daily News. So like whether it's a Jets or a Giants game, what happens is, you know, you go to the game, game gets played. After the game's over, you go to the locker room, interview all the guys, and then write your stuff and then head home. But with COVID, it was like I went to one Jets game. It was the Jets game where they lost the 49ers, and Raheem Mostert on the first play of the game ran 80 yards for a touchdown. And I remember I was sitting there. There's no fans. At the end of the game, we have to wait for them to email us a link to a Zoom meeting where Adam Gase is going to be there and we can talk to him. So we're sitting up there in the press box and all of us are like trying to talk over each other. There's people echoing because like someone sitting right next to me could be asking a question. So we all hear it on all of our computers. So I was like, yo, I'm not coming back to the stadium until I get a vaccine. So that's how it was different for me. Like I've done a lot of talking to guys like over video games that I wouldn't get to do in a locker room. So that's definitely how it changed my life. And with the combine, like I said, it's just, you got to believe what you want to believe, I guess, because I'll see people for prospects that they don't like, they'll say, oh, watch out for this pro day. Prospects they do like, they'll take everything without even blinking about it. So, you know, I would say just take everything with a grain of salt. And most of these times that you're looking at are probably fake, but I think the jumps are safe to be standardized across everything because you're just jumping.
I think the shuttles too, because I don't think those were always hand time to begin with.
Yeah. So, and I mean, a lot, even at the combine when it's in session, a lot of teams will still just use like their hand time sheets, like that they have scouts look at the actual event. So I don't know how much is this changing for teams. I think Scott nailed it though. The medicals, like there are only a handful of guys that made the trip to Indianapolis. They could get poked and prodded, but like Scott said, Chuba Hubbard, that's definitely a guy that needed to go there. And I'm sure there were other guys too.
Yeah. I guess this one of the things I thought about was this a little bit unfortunate for some of the guys that might have needed the combine to kind of pop if their school wasn't really having a pro day or they didn't have the ability to have like a film crew make these little cool YouTube videos to get themselves out there. And also for the players that are signing those 1-year deals because COVID kind of fucked up the money. So, because guys worked their whole life and now they might not cash out like they normally would have. But again, people are getting vaccinated. Stuff is opening up. Like I said, I get my last vaccine Friday. So I'll be hopefully good to go. But real quick. Yeah, it's not that bad. When we were talking about Kyle Pitts, nobody mentioned the prospect getting a Ja'Marr Chase, which was another interesting pick the week ago. Would that bother you guys when Ja'Marr Chase to kind of be a Julio Jones future replacement? Or
I mean, that would bother me because I don't think he's as good as Kyle Pitts. Like, if you're going to stay at four, either take a quarterback or take the best player in the draft. And, you know, like, Chase, like, he's going to be your wide three. I don't know. Like, let's just roll it back with Russell Gage.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, man. I don't think Chase is a next generation, like next tier wide receiver either. I think he's extremely good, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's gonna be DeAndre Hopkins or anything.
Yeah, like we all remember how AJ Green and Julio Jones were covered coming out of that draft. Like when you watch them, like there was no doubt, like, okay, this is it. Like this is someone's gonna be top five receiver, top 10, like right out the gate. I just don't feel that way about Chase. Like, I feel like with those prospects, it should be as easy as looking at AJ Green or Julio Jones and saying, there it is right there.
Exactly. You should be hearing the guys from Coming in America in your head the whole time.
Right. And like that's how I feel about Kyle Pitts. Like, I look at it, like, this is the easiest evaluation I've made this offseason.
Yeah, you sit there and you hear those guys. That boy good. Like, that's all you hear every time you watch him play. Like, you just know it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's how you feel when you watch Trevor Lawrence. I don't get that feeling with some of these other quarterbacks. I get it with Justin Fields. I get it with Trevor Lawrence. I see it sometimes with Trey Lance. I think if you could get him to his potential, Trey Lance is right up there too. But I don't get it with Wilson. And Mac Jones reminds me so much of Matt Ryan coming out of college. I mean, he really does. Not really the best arm. Not really the fastest guy. Just an average kind of dude, but he's just really smart. And he's going to be make some team very happy being the Andy Dalton at worst that he is for years.
Jesus. So, okay, to the Mac Jones thing. So there's a kind of a theory out there. This Mac Jones to the 49ers thing might be a bit of a troll, like a, just a huge elaborate smokescreen, because it would make no sense to take that guy.
I think they're going Fields.
The other guys. I would love to see Fields.
I truly think they're going Fields. Fields spends all his time at the Shanahan camps every summer. Like, Fields is, to me, that's their pick. I think one and two are basically set. I think it's Lawrence and Zach Wilson, because the Jets are idiots and they're going to take Zach Wilson.
Charles would know a lot about this.
Yeah, they're taking it. They're
fix your face.
Y'all know I hate that man. Y'all know I fucking hate that man. I fucking hate him. Fuck him. Fuck San Francisco, except for the food. Fuck the earthquakes. The fuck nice, Shanahan, dude. His daddy, his bald-headed granny. Fuck all of them. They can all go to hell.
Okay. I don't feel that strongly, but I actually think that.
This is a running gag at this point. He hates him.
I went up there to take Trey Lance just for the same reasons that I think Trey Lance makes sense for the Falcons. Like, if they're adamant about Jimmy G staying here throughout this season, then I think Trey Lance probably makes more sense than Justin Fields. Like, if you're that adamant on not pushing Jimmy Garoppolo, then, you know, take someone that the fans won't be clamoring for to play, like, right away, I guess. And I guess, like, Trey Lance's floor is lower. That makes more sense for him to sit for a year than for someone like Justin Fields. But, you know, I just can't buy that you would trade 3 first-round picks for Mac Jones. Like, why? And the funny part
– no shot.
They're not doing that.
I don't think they are either. And, like, the funny part is people go, oh, you know, he's like a Shanahan quarterback. But, like, Mac Jones didn't do that well in play action last year. And, you know, and the funny thing I've talked about people – when you say, oh, you know, this guy's a Shanahan quarterback, like, it usually just means
everybody
that he's not
is a Shanahan.
you need things to be easy for him, you know? And
Shanahan had a quarterback, man? Like, right. That's really good outside of Matt Ryan.
No one.
Like, didn't Shanahan have, like, CJ Bethard, like, averaging, like, 42 points a game one night?
Yeah, he had a great Monday night game.
It was like a Thursday or Monday night game where he had like 42 points. I was like,
right. And like, yeah, Shanahan, he can win a game with CJ Beathard or Jimmy G or Nick Mullins, but why not get someone with a much higher ceiling than that, like, if you still want to be like the control freak that you are,
right?
You can still do that. I think with Trey Lance, you get the high end potential upside. So, And also, like Scott, I'm sure you notice this, like, when you watch North Dakota State film, like, just aesthetically, their offense looks like a pro-style offense, like, that Shanahan would run. A lot of under center, high formation, like.
Like what Mike Shanahan would run, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's like
not what Kyle Shanahan runs, but, like, what Mike runs, yeah.
Right, it's like a throwback, like, kind of offense like that. So, I just
the 98 Broncos.
There. Yeah, for Lance is my guess, but. Whoever they don't take, that's not Mac Jones, is, I think, who the Falcons could take.
I think
here's hoping.
If it's not one of the quarterbacks, it's Pitts.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Charles and I are hearing the same things from the same guys, too. Like, it's one of those three. And thanks. I think the Mac Jones hype is way overrated. I think he ends up going to the Patriots, if we're being honest here. Mm. That's the fit that people aren't talking about.
Okay. Jif, is there anything else Falcons related you want to talk about? Because I have something I want to ask them real quick.
My future ex-husband hates the gradient jerseys just like me. So
Jesus Christ.
We are one in the same.
They're terrible, but who's your future ex-husband?
Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith.
That empire. I am getting a piece of that FedEx empire. Right,
okay? Because honestly,
I get it.
I watch these Arthur Smith videos and I'm like, I don't know. This guy seems a little swagless. Like, I'm a little. Like, hey, but if you're trying
to get the only way to
I'm here for that.
Yeah,
he's the only way to quantify your coaches.
Yeah. Look, he's swagless, but he's rich as fuck. Okay. I'm getting that back. Do you hear me?
Right. And I think Arthur might work out because, like, you got to be kind of crazy to come from FedEx money and still like grind through NFL coaching ranks. Like, if you give me that money, bro, you will never hear from me again. So,
nah, listen.
Right. So he might be
he
crazy.
Has to love football. Work.
I disappeared from Twitter.
From Arthur. Like, who knows?
Look, if y'all don't see me on Twitter one day, you already know. Okay.
I'll still be out there.
I mean, like, let me cash app. Let me cash app y'all $100. Okay. I got $100.
Right.
She'll be out here looking like
I'm crazy.
What are you talking about?
Hey, come give me a BBL. Okay. I'm
all out right. Here. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Oh, God. I would like a booty, damn it. I'm tired of being a pancake. It's not funny. Damn, they always laughing at me. It ain't funny. You know what it's like to be shaped like a pea? It's horrible.
I mean, someone's gonna like the pancakes, right?
Like fucking Wendy Williams out here, like
oh my God.
Fucking pea.
Jesus
Christ. I'm tired of this shit.
So to kind of tie in the Shanahan tie, let's talk about something that's been equally ridiculous on the timeline. I just want to get y'all's takes. It's not going to take more than like 2 seconds, but the whole Julian Edelman retiring and there are people in this world.
His knee was not down.
On Beyonce's internet to think this man is a Hall of Fame wide receiver, and I just from the faces, I know the answer, but I would like to hear you verbalize it.
Look, everybody in this room and everybody that's watching this, or anybody to be thinking about listening to this, knows why people are saying Julian Edelman's a Hall of Fame. But you know why? It's the moment, and he's also white. Like,
he's white, exactly.
It's a little white dude that's made a bunch of plays that all of us remember. And it's Boston. Like, of course they're going to push that shit. But he's not a Hall of Famer. Fuck out of here.
You know who's more of a Hall of Famer? Roddy White. If you go game stats for what Julian Edelman did, outside of playing more games, they're exactly the same. Roddy White and Julian Edelman. Honestly, White scored more touchdowns in a per-game manner.
Right. And like, I saw
actually has saying, the regular season success, too.
Right. I saw people saying that, like, that's why, like, Julian Edelman was the reason they won those Super Bowls, but he ain't the reason they got there.
He's not even the reason they won either.
The reason they won
is this old crotchety asshole named Bill Belichick.
Yeah. And, like, the only one that I'll be like, all right, maybe they won that game was because of Edelman was the Rams one because he won MVP and was pretty good in that game. But outside of that, it's just it's a couple plays that you remember. That's not Hall of Fame worthy.
Well, the one where they won 13-3?
Right, like the most boring Super Bowl. Like,
the one where their defense held the other team to 3 points. Yeah, Julian Edelman's why they won that one.
Yeah,
I mean,
like I literally can't name you any moment of Julian Edelman's like career where I've been like, yeah, this guy's gonna be a Hall of Famer. There's been like maybe 2 plays a game where I'm just like, oh, okay, he did something cool, nice, and then that's it.
Does Russ Walker belong in the Hall of Fame?
He's got a better case than Edelman. I still say no.
Exactly.
I
don't think Roddy White belongs in the Hall of Fame, but if Julian Edelman's in the Hall of Fame, I'm burning the damn thing down and putting Roddy in myself.
Yeah, it's dude. I before I got on here, I saw someone like questioning Julio Jones. I'm like, get out of here.
Julio Jones is a 5-time All-Pro, 7-time Pro Bowler. You know the last time a 5-time All-Pro got held out of the Hall of Fame?
T.O. probably.
Like, yeah, T.O. But best like T.O. was a dick. Julio Jones is a dude who's hanging out with squirrels in the offseason. Like, let's call it what
me
it
and
is.
A squirrel.
Yep.
Me and a squirrel.
It's dumb. Like I saw a video today where someone was like, it was like on 3rd-and-3, who do you fear more? Like it was Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, or Edelman. I'm like, not Edelman.
Why haven't you on that list?
If I need
I'm going Calvin.
Not like the other.
I'm going Calvin.
Right, exactly.
I don't even want to argue. Like, I just.
Yeah, that wasn't the point.
Get away from me if you're saying Edelman in that situation. But
oh, I'm cutting Edelman off my team for that situation.
Yeah. I mean, anyone saying Edelman is just a hype.
He's not on the field in that situation.
Yeah. Well, that was three guys. You give me Julio Jones and come on, man.
Right.
Edelman's not even on the field.
If you're saying Julian Edelman Hall of Fame, I need to know where you were when the Capitol was stormed.
That is a great point. That is a great point. You were probably there.
Wowzers. All right. Let me, again, kind of tie into the Falcons as well. I got some other questions for you. So there was a quarterback in the state of Texas that the Falcons fans wanted to bring home, right? Who is going through some pretty wild personal issues that it seems day by day the story gets a little bit crazier. What are you guys' thoughts on a demon time Deshaun Watson?
Woof.
I'm not touching this one with a 10-foot pole.
I mean,
the wild boy.
Yeah.
I'm not touching this one with a 10-foot pole. Just
should I were.
Look,
I like him as a player, but I'm gonna let that all get sorted out.
Right. That's the fair thing to do. But I guess the thing with that with me is just like how crazy all of this shifted. I mean, what, 2 months ago, we're talking about the Giants, or not the Giants, the Panthers. Dolphins, Panthers. Like, are they gonna trade, you know, 3 first-round picks and franchise players for Deshaun? And now we've gone to, like, there's a chance, there's like a real chance, like, if all of this stuff is true, that he'll never play again. And you know, like, people that are talking about trade market, I'm like, what are you talking about right now? Like, we need to find out if he like assaulted 20 women or not. And it's just, it's not a good situation. And like, I don't know what you do if you're the Texans. Like, it's just, it's a crappy situation to be in. And the thing with Watson is like, you gotta kind of be patient because I don't even know if this gets fit, like, solved this year. And I imagine that when the first second that Goodell has a chance to put him on the exempt list, he's going on there, because the last thing that I'm about to let happen, if I'm the commissioner of the NFL, is let Deshaun Watson get in front of a mic at training camp and talk about this to reporters. Like, you gotta nip all this in the bud immediately when he comes in the exempt list, and then just let the court system play out. But like, if this is still going on to next year, I have no idea what you do.
I mean, this is a Darren Sharper potential situation. Like, he's either going to end up like Darren Sharper, or it's going to end up like nothing ever happened. But no matter what happens there, like, yeah, it was bad. Texans should have traded him while his value was high and all this stuff came out, because they're
good.
I mean, they'd be lucky to get a third for him right now with where it's at.
So I agree with Scott at all.
just the whole thing is just like, I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna put anybody like business out there, because it's not my business to talk about it. But like, if any of that stuff is true, because like, I saw somebody put out a tweet that said, how you get caught on, like, how do you have like 22 people telling a lie on you? Like, that's kind of indicative right there.
When the lawyer came out and said, well, here's 18 that he didn't mess with, I'm like, okay, we're talking about 50 massage therapists, bro.
Wild
50.
Defense.
And he's going through IG. Like, anytime I ever wanted to go to the spa, I go through the website and sign up there, or I make a call to an official place. Like, come on. Like, it's not looking good. And like, if you're the NFL, I don't know how you can let him play week one.
Let me just put this out there. I've been going to Massage Envy for years. In the 10 years I've been going, I've had 2 different massage therapists. 2. And it's because one was in Charleston, one is in Atlanta. That's it. I don't understand how this dude has like 50 different massage therapists. I'm with Charles there.
So
I'm going to say what someone said on Twitter. If this is true, he's a horrible fucking person and deserves to go to jail. If this is not true, then the Texans organization is horrible.
They need to be
more
eradicated.
Horrible than we thought they were.
The Texans organization is the worst organization in football right now.
Yeah.
They need to be eradicated.
They're awful, but but this is something that I would think that Easterby would be trying to pull off. Like, you like this. Like,
I don't know, man. That dude is awful. He's bad. He's a horrible human being. I would not put it past him. And I think it's just because of like what I know about him from what like some Texans people have told me. Like, nah, man.
Yeah, he's a freak. But like, also,
he's a horrible human being, man. He's like trying to be Joel Osment or whatever the preacher guy is, while also trying to run a football team. Like, yeah, I don't know these people, man. I'm Jewish.
Don't get me started on him, Lord.
I mean, but it's just the fact that the lawyer has said, oh, we have 18 people that, like, that kind of, to me, eliminates the Texans from doing stuff. Because, I mean, the Texans think they got massage therapists on their own. Like, I feel like they'd rather just trade Watson be dealing with this. So, but I feel, you know, the most sinister thing possible would be, you know, if he's not going to show up, this would be, like, if you're the most evil person on the planet, this would have to be, like, your recourse for that. But I don't know. Maybe I'm naive on that. I just kind of find it hard to believe that they would go through all this instead of just getting rid of him or doing something to appease him. Like, all you have to do is just interview Bienemy and Saleh, and that's something you should have been doing anyways. And now somehow we've ended up here.
Yeah. And they hired some random quarterback coach from Baltimore. Not saying he didn't truly deserve the job or anything. He's probably
that organization has.
He hired Lovie Smith to be his defensive coordinator. I think he might be unqualified.
No, he's definitely unqualified. I'm just saying, like, he was probably qualified for a coordinator spot and could have had a shot, but I mean, Eric Bieniemy was the right call there. There was no other call for them.
We'll see what happens with his Watson stuff, but it's not going to be for a long time before it's all settled and done. So I would just say, like, if you got picks on that, just keep them in the chamber for now.
Yeah, so I get Scott's position. I get Charles's. I get Jalen's position. I get all y'all's position. The only reason I brought it up is for the weirdos on Twitter that think they know, like, people personally. Like, just because he's clean cut, he's a great athlete, all that stuff, he's from Georgia, whatever. Like, we don't know these people. And the thing that bothered me is there's a lot of particularly men that were going on the timeline automatically assuming that these women were lying just because it's Deshaun Watson. He would never do that. I'm sure people thought that about Darren Sharper as well. So
I thought that about Michael Vick, man.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And then shout to
my heart.
The homie on Twitter, Adriana, the one massage therapist, girls, Falcons fan, big United fan on Twitter. She posted a thread and she said she's dealt with things like that. So I was like, you know, that's mad disrespectful to people like her that are in this industry. So just remember when stuff like this happens, man. We don't know these people. They're athletes. They're, you know, they're not perfect. They're not infallible. So,
right. I mean, he wouldn't, like, this is obviously a very extreme case, but he wouldn't be the first athlete to have a clean image and then do something fucked up. So, like you said, you don't know these people and, you know, you just don't need to get on Twitter and defend them like it's your damn
your family. Like, you know, like,
you can just.
It is perfectly okay to shut up sometimes.
Roddy White. Exactly.
Roddy White. That was a terrible take.
Roddy White, the player. Love him. Roddy White, the tweeter.
Horrible. A fucking idiot. Like, and then he left it up for like what, 3-4 days?
Yeah, he left it up for like two days.
And was just like, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to leave that up for that long.
Right.
Like, you stupid motherfucker. God damn.
Hey man, read the room, dog. Like, that ain't it, bro. So that is definitely not it. But interesting times, man. Interesting times. Let me be annoying. Let me get some season predictions. Scott, what are your expectations for this season?
If they hit the draft, well, 9-8.
I forgot we got an extra game. I was like, 9-8. Like, yeah.
Okay. We got 17 games now. Let it drink in. That extra game's against the Jaguars. I actually feel confident about that one.
We'll see. I'm gonna go see that one.
Before I say anything, the fact that they approved the 17 like game season and then having it be like 9-8 and 8-9 being like a record is awful.
Yeah.
Like, so, that doesn't even sound right.
With you there, I think the fact that all 17 of those extra games aren't neutral site games makes no sense. Because that'd be a great way to have fun and like as a marketing way. Like, mm-hmm. How fun would it be to have, say, the Panthers and the Jaguars play at Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia every single year, the same way that Georgia and Florida play in Jacksonville? You know, create real rivalries in between the conferences. Have Atlanta and Tennessee play. Like, have real proximity rivalries that make sense. Not the way they did it. The way they did it didn't make any sense.
Oh, they made dollars, though. Yeah.
Charles, I guess my season prediction, I don't really have a record in mind, but I do expect the offense to be, like, whether or not they pick Kyle Pitts, I think that barring injury, this offense should be back into top 10 territory. And that's just the expectations that I have on Arthur Smith. I mean, you were here to fix the offense. Matt Ryan is, you know, 36. You need to fix him now. So, good offense, but this defense, man, like, I just think it's going to be awful. Grady, obviously, phenomenal player. Debo, Foye, Stedman linebacker, Terrell, I don't know how high his upside is, but he's already proven that he can play. It's just there's so much work that still needs to be filled out. Like, I don't know if you can just bank on Oliver, like, recreating that performance from last year. They still need another corner outside of that. Like Scott said earlier in the show, you need two safeties, because I watched some Eric Harris film, and I can tell you, if he ends up starting 17 games, they're going to have a bottom five defense. It's just like, you know, we talk about, like, what's critical in winning in today's NFL, and I think it's pass defense, and I just cannot be convinced that the Falcons have anything better than, like, the 25th pass defense, like, at best for me. So I don't think that this is any indictment on Dean Pease, the play caller, because I think he's a phenomenal coach, but I just don't see the horses, and I don't see how you get him in time for them to be respectable defense this year.
I think you're being generous, too. I think you're being optimistic saying 25th. Like, like, Eric Harris is garbage. Damn. From what I saw. Right.
And, like, and if Eric Harris isn't starting, you're starting, like, two rookies, or a rookie and Jalen Hawkins. Like, it's just
– I have more faith in Hawkins than Harris, honestly. But
– yeah, yeah. It's not going to be pretty.
Or you push Oliver back. I'd rather see Oliver and Hawkins start at free safety and strong safety than put – Eric Harris back there.
And then you need another corner. Like, it's a horrible defense.
Yeah, then you could have the problem having
a I mean, corner. You're going to need corners anyway.
Right.
Maybe Sheffield flips a switch or something this year in his third year. I don't know.
Right. And he's competent. That's kind of why, like, if you want to win right now and you're anti-quarterback, like, just take Pitts and say, fuck defense. We're too far gone on that side of the ball. Let's just fill out our roster with, like, NFL players who have two lungs of heart and can breathe, and then we'll try again next year.
So I kind of want to ask you, like, if we were, like you said, the 25th defense in the NFL, how good would our offense have to be rank-wise to make up for that? Like, top second. Five, top three?
Like, second?
Look, I will say this. I think the NFC South, it's a weird year this year, man. Like, you got the Saints doing the Tamus Hill show. Carolina's trying out Sam Darnold. Like, I don't see, like, why the Falcons couldn't finish second in the division, and maybe, like, if enough things break away, maybe you're crawling for, like, that seventh seed. But still, like, even that is kind of hard for me to see with how this defense is currently set up. But I mean, we've seen even in Falcons history plenty of times that a good offense can carry a bad defense to the playoffs, and then you kind of fizzle out there. So I think that would be, like, the ceiling for this Falcons team. Like, you get to the wild card and you had a fun season.
And let's be honest here, they're a season-ending injury away from being the team that's favored to win the division. Like, when you look at that defense, when you look at Tampa Bay, who else can run that team but Tom Brady?
That's fair. I think Gabbert's a black backup. I'm not concerned about that.
Yeah, Blaine Gabbert's going to run them to a 2-15 record if he has to start after.
And both of those wins will come against the Falcons.
Yeah, he did cook us when he was the backup for what, the 49ers. I was like, bro,
when they kicked on the 1 yard line, that was
yep. Unbelievable.
We should have known Dan Quinn wasn't it then. Let's be honest here. Oh, we should have just promoted Shanahan after that game.
Blank ever still in the league, man. That's incredible.
That shit was funny, man.
Incredible.
Bro, yeah, I just got so many just memories of anger just brought back.
That's when
Dan Quinn was the most Atlanta Falcons coach.
He was perfect.
Just like he brought some good, but he brought some bad with that good.
And the good times are like as good as you'll good find in the NFL. Great. As good as you can get in the NFL, but the bad times are just unbelievable.
He was the most Atlanta coach we ever had for the Falcons.
Yeah.
Highest of highs, lowest of lows.
I think it's early
success. Embarrassingly.
Yeah. I think his early success was a double-edged sword, man. Like, because this kind of put them in fantasy world of like, hey, we just need one piece. And never worked out, so.
I just need them to be fun to watch this year. That's all I'm asking
for. Yeah, that is my prediction as well. I just need them to be fun.
I just need them to not play.
I don't care about a record, stats, or nothing. I just need them to be fun. Like the last 2 years have just been abysmal.
How about let's just not play stupid? Like if you're up by a touchdown with 64 seconds left, don't let them win. If there's an onside kick and you're winning by 3 points and you just jump on it and you win, jump on the fucking ball. Like, don't play like idiots. That's all I'm asking.
That's it. That is it.
Look. Don't frustratingly piss me off to where I'm throwing shit around the house all day.
How long have you been rooting for this team?
Forever. That's the problem.
So you should know
okay.
that.
Okay, when has this ever changed?
Right. No matter who's in charge, it could be – I feel like if Bill Belichick came down here, we would have
some. And they still find a way to do something stupid.
Right.
But there would be less stupid, all right? I just want less of the
stupid. Is still stupid.
That's it.
Yeah, but with Mike Smith, we had stupid like 2 games. With Dan Quinn, we had it for like 7 a year. Like, let's minimize it. At least Mike Smith minimized the stupid.
One of those teams went to the Super Bowl because of stupid. Like, they're just going to do something stupid regardless. They're just stupid. The entire franchise is just stupid.
Bro, yeah, and then they played that Super Bowl from halftime on like fucking idiots.
Stupid.
And that's who they are. It's in the DNA.
It's who they are. It's who Dan Quinn is. He's a choker.
It's who the Atlanta Falcons are. It's not even just.
And yes, sadly, Dan Quinn is a top 5 Atlanta coach of all time.
Probably like
third. We've had some real fucking terrible coaches.
We have.
Easily.
He's probably second behind Mike Smith, if we're being honest. Yeah, he took us to a Super Bowl, but his low was lower than Smith's.
That is
true. Variance was too much.
Mike Smith was the most winningest coach in Falcons history, though. So
I think Dimitroff is why Smith was bad in 13 and 14, if we're being honest.
Was that the injury apocalypse year?
Yeah, that was injury apocalypse.
That was the Levine Toilolo at left tackle center.
Yeah, bro, that was bad news.
Oh my god.
Yeah, those are rough times.
I blame Dimitroff.
That was so funny. I remember I was watching that game. I was like, "What the fuck is going on in my?" I don't understand anything at all.
Why is number 80 playing right tackle right now? This doesn't make any damn sense.
Dude, like, I met Matt Ryan walk back to draft, drop a pass in that game, and it was like a goddamn firing squad. Like, every play.
And the funny thing was that Levine Toilolo was probably like the second best option that day, too, because the other ones were just that bad.
You know, it's funny. I was looking at the draft history the other day. And I couldn't believe that Lamar Holmes was only on the team for like 2-3 seasons. Like, I felt like he was there for forever.
He like broke his foot at some point or something like that, or his ankle or whatever.
I'm not sure it would have mattered.
Wouldn't have mattered.
How they took Peter Kahn's over Kelechi Osemele too.
Okay, Kahn's like that year.
Okay. That is.
Kahn's was weak though.
I'm not giving
he couldn't hold an anchor, man.
I mean, you can draft somebody in hopes of them being able to do that. That's just strength and conditioning at that point. Like, if he has the talent to do something, you can draft him and be like, okay,
you can either do it or you can't.
We're going to sit you in this offseason program. It's
natural leverage.
We're going to sit you in this offseason program for like a year, and you're just going to lift all the weights, eat all the food. Like, I'd rather have somebody who can, like, who knows how to, like, somewhat play, but it turned out he didn't know how to do either, but, you know.
You can't teach a dude natural leverage. That's all I'm going to say.
That's true.
I don't even think that our drafts have been like that bad. That's the crazy part. They've been even.
I want offensive linemen who are wrestlers in high school because they at least know how to get low and push people around. Or at least look like they used to wrestle in high school and like they understand leverage.
Yeah. You know, I kind of agree with Jalen. Like, I don't know if our drafts, like, compared to the rest of the league, I don't know if it's been that bad. Free agency, though, Dimitrov was awful, man. Outside of that one where they got Sanu and Mac, he was not good at all. I'll give him the 2016.
Wasn't that year they got like Mac Claiborne,
Sanu?
Yeah, like that one was really good. But everything else was just like okay. Like they signed somebody who was not good, and then they thought he was gonna be good, and then that was it.
Ray Harris.
I was just about to say. how many defensive line projects like failed? Ray Edwards, Solvi was okay. I still
think he was okay.
Tyson Jackson sucked.
I think for the money, they would have been better off getting Linval Joseph that year, though.
Oh yeah,
I'm pissed off they never got Joseph.
It's the money more than like the Tyson Jackson contracts, Solia contracts. Off obviously, like even as much as Tyson Jackson ended up playing, like he didn't bring it up as a pass rusher at all to justify that. Like, you whiffed on Alan Bailey. I mean, it's just weird, like, how bad he was at free agency, especially recently.
It was crazy.
I think he could have gotten Arakpo for the money he gave Tyson Jackson that year, too. What would have made more sense, Arakpo or Tyson Jackson? Like, he just had a lot of stupid mistakes.
And some of the people that he signed, like, they weren't, like, awful the year before, and they just became completely awful when they got to the Falcons. I don't know if it was, like, Like it was wild. Like they would sign somebody who was like, okay, this guy is pretty okay. Like he's not garbage, but he'll be better than the people we have. And then he just was worse than everybody else they had. Like it didn't make any sense.
Yeah. I gotta hop off soon. Any more questions before we gotta pop off?
I think that's it. Y'all got anything else?
No.
Nope.
All right. Cool. Well, on that note. Breeze is already gone. He had to go. But I appreciate Scott and Charles for coming on here. Yeah, Breeze only had an hour tonight, you know. He only had an hour. He's got to make his chicken or whatever the fuck he likes to cook. It's usually chicken, though. It's usually chicken. But I really, really appreciate y'all even coming on. Yes. This has been great. This episode will come out next week. So if you're here now, you're not going to hear the episode till next week. All right. Go listen to the last one with me and Sammy. Y'all got any shout outs? Let's start with Charles. You have any shout outs?
Just follow me on Twitter at 4verts. We got a bunch of draft stuff coming at the end of this week with my coworker, Stephen Ruiz. Just follow us at For the Win. Yeah, I'm just ready for this draft to be over so I can enjoy my summer.
You and me both. Scott, you got any shout outs?
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter. It's Karasik S, CARASIKS. And, I'm still working on that series of just potential Falcons draft picks. I have to read through my notebook with my really terrible handwriting and try and figure out which guy's which based on the numbers. And sometimes I have to just go back and rewatch because I'm like, man, this is terrible. Yeah, I'm going to continue that. I'm working on running backs right now, finishing those out, and I'll work on linemen after that. But just keep following for the series. You'll see all of them soon.
Bet. Jalen?
I have like two. I don't really do the shout-out thing. My obligatory shout-out to Aaron for, you know, just being Aaron, being hilarious. And then shout-out to Charles because I've been trying to get Charles on the podcast for like 3 years now. I finally was able to make them. No, we were going to plan something like a couple years ago, and then it just completely fell apart. So it whatever.
Sounds like a lot of projects I work on.
Sounds about right. But yeah, that's about it. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to follow me. I don't really care. I'm going to shit post regardless. So,
Josh, you got a shout out?
Just shout out to Charles and Scott. Thank you for coming on. And everyone who's listening and watching. And also shout out to my little boy, Kason. Love you.
So glad you shout out your son this time, because sometimes you get mad and you forget.
That was 1 week when they pissed me off. I think it was that Dallas game, but whatever. But, but yeah, that was it.
A horrible game. Shout out to Marcus in the fucking comments. He has a bunch of Josh comments. Josh, you're going to have to look at it after he's been
I'm not gonna
on your ass tonight. Shout out to the KTSD Av podcast. Shout out again. All their shit will be in the description box. I forgot what the fuck I was going to say, so I said shit. But it's not shit. All their fucking Twitter handles and shit will be in the description. Golly, I need to go to bed. Okay.
No, it's shit. It's Twitter.
It's yeah, you know they do great shit. Okay, it's great shit. It's not bad shit. Shout out to Breeze. He probably has shout outs, but he's not here anymore. So whatever. And his chicken. And on that note, we are out of here. Tune in next time with whoever the fuck we interview next. I don't know who it's gonna be.
Maybe y'all stop hoeing me, and I'll be able to come on next week too.
Okay, Jalen, your work schedule is off. That's not my fault. Okay, not my fault. All right, y'all. So Bree's gonna have to end this, but he's like making chicken, so we just have to all just leave the studio.
Everybody, just leave on the like.
Just don't say nothing that you don't want the people to hear because we're live. Okay.